In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A few years ago, I read a book by Robert Johnson entitled Owning Your Own Shadow. The premise of this book is that we all have a part of ourselves that we are proud of, that we cultivate and show off. And we also have parts that we are ashamed of or reluctant to make known for whatever reason. Sometimes we even hide these parts from ourselves. These hidden parts are the shadow or the dark side of the psyche. Now, this shadow self is a big mix of traits. We try to hide our selfishness or our insecurities. We try to avoid picking our noses in public. But we often hide some of our best qualities too, frightened to make ourselves vulnerable or afraid that we will be unable to consistently meet the demands of those qualities. One line that particularly stuck with me from this book was that, quote, "Our hero-worshipping capacity is pure shadow, in which case our finest qualities are refused and laid on another. Today's hero is tomorrow's character." In other words, very often the person that we most admire represents the character that we are in the process of developing in ourselves. Heroes are, by definition, worthy of emulation. This is why so often our heroes are our parents or our mentors. With any luck, they might be our supervisors at work. Our heroes might be the politicians we elect, as we expect them to embody those traits that we find most admirable or important. In fairy tales, we call that person most worthy of admiration and emulation the king. So when Pilate encounters Jesus, Pilate goes right for the core of the matter. He asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus pushes back, inviting Pilate to consider what he means by this question. But Pilate sticks to his script. He has a very specific concern as Rome's representative in Palestine. Does Jesus represent a threat to the Roman Empire? So Jesus elaborates for him. If Jesus were a rival for the political power held by Rome, things would look very different at this moment. Jesus would never have been handed over into the power of Pilate, because Jesus is a king. And in fact, Jesus, as king, has access to more resources than Rome could even dream of. And Jesus is a different kind of king. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not from here." So Pilate is looking out for kings, looking out for political rivals to Rome, and he's right to recognize one in Jesus, though on a level that he can't imagine. Jesus talks about being a spiritual king, and yet when I say spiritual, I don't mean unreal or imaginary. When I say spiritual, I mean something that is more real and more pervasive and more long-lasting than the kingdom of Rome. Of all the kings with whom Jesus is in competition, Caesar and the empire, they're small potatoes. More challenging are those kings that we follow daily to our own hurt. These are the kings that speak of death and darkness rather than light and life. Some of us are weighed down by the dominance of empire and politics in our lives. Empire, the state, is a jealous god, arrogating to itself all the power of life and death in the world. Our government holds for itself the decision about who should be killed in the name, which citizens should be killed in the name of criminal justice, and which non-citizens should be killed in the name of defending liberty. Politicians make choices that shape other areas of our lives. The state holds up certain ideas around prosperity and equality and justice that may or may not reflect what we read in Scripture. Is the state the most influential king in your life? For many of us, the most influential king in our lives has to do with money and jobs, debt and consumption. How to get money and how to spend it, how to get more credit or how to claw our way out of debt, how to get the next shiny iPhone or that fancy car. Are money and jobs the kings in your life? Do they claim most of your attention from day to day throughout the week? Sex and identity, pathology and loss are kings for many of us. Sometimes life is about guarding our vulnerabilities or even cultivating those things which, even though they hurt us, at least they give us a sense of direction and a story to tell. I think one of the most common stories is living with the self as king. A life where all decisions are ultimately mine and subject to no other jurisdiction. An example of how the self is king was something that some of us encountered during formation hour the last couple months. One of the classes was on the way of love. And one week as we talked about the way of love, we talked about Sabbath. How God rested one day per week. And how we are reluctant to follow God's example. Right? Because resting means giving up control. Resting means admitting that the world will keep turning without me. It means admitting that I am not king. Making my own decisions subject to no other authority is a very modern Western thing to do. But the self, floating free of any anchor, is a terrible and cruel king, subject to every wind and whimsy of influence. On Christ the King Sunday, we finish up our liturgical year making a final statement about who Jesus is in our lives. From the expectation of Advent through Jesus' birth and life and persecution and death, right up to the climax of Easter that we celebrate at the Easter Vigil, where we proclaim once more the resurrection of Jesus. It is that resurrection that ultimately testifies to the trustworthiness of Jesus as our King, and a King to be emulated. Nothing, not even death, can overcome the power of Jesus to give us life. Are you ready, like Jesus, to speak truth to the powers and principalities in your life? If television programs and movies fill your thoughts and emotions, are you ready to trade them in for time spent in the quiet discipline of prayer? If money and job and consumption are your primary concerns, are you ready to beat them back with a pledge card and store up treasures in heaven instead? If seeking those things that will make you feel good in your body or in your mind is your primary function, are you ready to go serve others instead and spend yourself on the welfare of other people? If you are your own despotic little king, are you willing to sacrifice your will and your way and your self-concern for the sake of others, building relationships and caring and mutuality before God? In other words, who is the king of your life? And are you cultivating a life that enthrones Jesus above every other influence? A Christian is one who seeks in every time and in every place to exalt Christ as King. The cycle of the liturgical year and all the other practices of the Christian church all point toward that same goal. When we set our hearts and our minds on Christ, when Jesus is the one we admire and look up to and spend our time thinking about, then it is Christ whose power and vitality we will inevitably experience. Jesus said, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Jesus lives in your life, both in your cultivated self, and sometimes even more in the shadow. Whom are you emulating? Whom do you admire? That's who you're becoming. Choose your heroes carefully, because you are becoming them. There is a king who will outlast every other. He died for you, and yet his love remains unstoppable. Who is your king?